If there's anything you need, you can always find it in a shopping mall. Made in China, Philippines, things from India, feathers in a shopping mall. Red or green, big and small, crazy boy and girl, you can always find it there. The other day, I bought a parrot that even speaks French.
If there's anything you need, you can always find it in a shopping mall. Made in China, Philippines, things from India, feathers in a shopping mall. Red or green, big and small, crazy boy or girl, you can always find it there. The other day I bought a parrot that even speaks French.
On your...
Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we are going back in time once again to that beloved and most hallowed of grounds, the American Shopping Mall. Now, it's been a while since I've talked about shopping malls, but I was reminded that I have gone off quite a bit on the wonderment that is the American Shopping Mall. And notice I keep saying the American Shopping Mall. That's because shopping mall means different things to different people in different cultures and different places in the world. Mall, shopping center. To some people, they are interchangeable. To others, they are distinct cultural signifiers of places where large groups of people go to shop. Shopping malls. What is a shopping mall? Let's think about the shopping mall. Before we get into this week's book, which is, by the way, a Cub Club book. Look, Ma, I'm reading. We're back with 1993's The Berenstain Bears at the Giant Mall. Not the Berenstain Bears and the Giant Mall, as I've tended to think about it in... I'll be honest, I don't think about it very often. But the Berenstain Bears at the Giant Mall is... Well, we'll get to it. It's not much, but it's there for sort of a springboard of a discussion. But let's think about malls. When people talk about the mall these days, we tend to know what they're referring to. In America, a mall is a large, fully enclosed, climate-controlled environment that contains individual stores in their own storefronts with their own entrances, with their own signage, that operate autonomously from one another, however, that coexist within the confines of this enclosed climate-controlled building. Also within the mall, usually are places to eat, places to sit, some form of entertainment, but not much beyond that. You'll find hair salons. In some of the larger malls, you might find medical centers, but usually it's things related to commerce, not things related to daily living. Frequently, they are anchored on one, two, or multiple ends with large box department stores. I think a Sears, a JCPenney, a Joskies, a Foley's, a Herberger's, a Dayton's. I guess most of those don't exist anymore. But think of those big stores that you avoid now because they're too big. They're too big for this society. They're too big for our introvert society. We like to sit at home alone on our computers and do all of our shopping. But malls are usually anchored by large stores. But no matter what you think about a mall, finding the history of the mall is actually more daunting than you might suspect. The history of the shopping mall is long and varied. It's almost like looking up opera. If you've ever done a deep dive into the history of opera, you're going to be hard-pressed to find more than two scholars who agree on what exactly opera is and when exactly it begins. Because it's one of those things where I know it when I hear it, I know it when I see it, I'm just hard-pressed to define it because the boundaries are a little loosey-goosey, and shopping malls are the same way. If you want to go back in time as far as we can, shopping malls go back as far as ancient Rome, which had the first fully enclosed shopping, multi-storied shopping areas. And if you look at these, you're like, oh yeah, like look at that. Like, you have like a hallway, and there's kiosks, and each one has a merchant, and there's stairways that go up to second and third floors with other merchants, and it's all under sort of one roof. It's not fully enclosed, but it's pretty enclosed. And you could say, there you go. That's a shopping mall. Or in Istanbul, there is still in operation an enclosed roofed shopping district where different people have different booths and little shopping areas where you can do just all of the shopping you need in one place. Even in town here, we have mercados, which contain multiple stores operated by different proprietors that offer things. There's all different kinds of shopping experiences that are enclosed. But what makes those not shopping malls? Well, first of all, the first acknowledged shopping mall in North America, and it is in North America, I believe the first of its kind was in France? Off the top of my head, I'm not quite remembering. The first shopping mall in North America, however, was here in Minnesota. Southdale Center was the first modern, what they call modern American shopping mall. Not a shopping arcade, not a bazaar, but a fully functional shopping mall. And the reason we defined these specifically as modern shopping malls is because Southdale Center in Edina, Minnesota, was envisioned and designed and created by Victor Gruen. It was kind of his child, his baby. And it was a direct result of Suburban Flight and his desire to recreate the shopping and communal experience that he had grown up with in Vienna. Maybe it was Vienna. Yes, in Vienna, before he fled to America from the Nazis. So here we have this Austrian immigrant who was also a staunch socialist. It may come as a surprise that the modern shopping mall was designed in direct response to rising capitalism because he wanted to recreate the town center. He was seeing that cities were losing their populations and that people were isolating themselves in the suburbs, and he wanted a place for communities to come together under a roof in an environment where they would feel free to shop and eat, to sit and rest, to mingle, to experience community in a way that we were losing as, as white middle-class Americans were losing in the 1950s. And because of where he decided to build it in Edina, Minnesota, it had to be completely climate controlled so that it could operate year-round. And initially, his idea was to have it anchored by two department stores, contain a multitude of stores, but also a police department, a medical center, a library, make it be a fully functional part of the community so that it wasn't just a shopping area. Of course, it was also to battle suburban sprawl and battle our reliance on cars. He thought that if you could do everything in one place, people wouldn't be driving around so much. Well, it completely backfired on him and ended up becoming something that he regretted later in life, designing these ugly box destination locations for people to just spend more money, get in and get out, that became sort of like blights on the neighborhood and pulled away business from mom and pop stores and essentially helped to kill downtowns in small town America. So sorry about that. Mr. Gruen, you can join the Winchester family in being those people who instantly regret the things that they introduced to the world. But the mall, we love the mall. I loved the mall. I started experiencing the mall in the early 80s, and it was a huge deal. Our mall was Willowbrook Mall. I grew up in Spring, Texas. In order to get to the mall, it was about a 15-minute drive from the house. It was Originally, we had Greens Point Mall. That was where we had to go to the mall. But in the early 80s, I want to say like 81, 82, 81, they built Willowbrook Mall. And it was, for me as a child, a huge deal. It was this, not even a very big mall. It was like just like an L shape, I believe. And it had a store at one end of the L, a store at the other end of the L. And then in the central hub, where the bend in the L was, that was the food court with the movie theater attached to it and an arcade. Because at the time, every mall had to have its arcade. Aladdin's Castle, that was the arcade. And it was enough. It was enough for us. We loved Willowbrook Mall. It was a big deal going to the mall. It meant that you were a... It was time for a serious shopping excursion. Now, there were strip malls, of course, shopping centers, as some people called them. And we still have shopping centers around town. I'm thinking of like what we still call Harmar Mall in Roseville, Minnesota, where there's an entrance. You can go into it and you can get to stores off the main hallway, but you can also enter them from the outside. And to me, that's what kills it. To me, if you can enter any of the stores or a majority of the stores from the outside, it's not a real mall. It doesn't feel like a real mall. You have to be caught up in the Warren. And be able to get to them from, you have to be able to get to them only from the inside. You can get to the major department stores from the outside, I'll allow that, but everything else can only be accessible from inside the mall. You add too many external stores, you run the risk of losing your mall status, in my mind, and you start becoming a shopping center. So yeah, we had Willowbrook Mall. If you go there now, I think Willowbrook Mall still exists, but it is what is now a shopping complex. And you've seen these. They are actually, these shopping complexes predated malls. And those were things that there was more like you drove your car up, you parked in this sort of like almost pseudo town square where you had a lot of department stores, a lot of eateries, and like a theater, and a sort of a central hub, and not everything was enclosed. So I believe Willowbrook Mall now has like its mall portion, but it's surrounded by this sprawling complex that involves far more, far beyond just the central mall. Because as they've said, and as they keep saying, and as they will continue to tell us year in, year out, as we go along in this life, mall is dead. Nobody shops at the mall anymore. The American mall is a faded memory. Never mind the fact that we still have all of our malls. Never mind the fact that I've been to the malls recently and they seem to be doing okay. I don't know if they are actually doing okay, but they keep finding ways to chug right along. They may not be the contain the mystery and wonder they once did. They may not be the ultimate teen hangouts anymore. They might not be the only place you could go to get music, novelty t-shirts, colorful makeup, toys, basketball shoes, sports jerseys, knick-knackery. They may not be that kind of place anymore. You may be able to get everything you're looking for now online or just, locally owned establishments. But kids still go there. Whenever I go there during the summer, there's always teenagers hanging out at the mall. I don't know. I don't think the mall is dead. I don't want to believe the mall is dead, but it's certainly not what it once was.
Hey, this is Gina from the Kill by Kill podcast, and my favorite mall memory is circa 1989 to 1990 when I used to hang around at Suncoast Pictures in Hamilton Mall in Mays Landing, New Jersey. My favorite section of the store was the Laserdisc section, which I loved to look through because it just seemed to me to be the height of glamour to me, and I knew that someday I would own my very own extravagant Laserdisc collection of everything, the finest in 80s Fullerton adventure movies. And the other day I just happened to be in a Goodwill and I saw a copy of Urban Cowboy on Laserdisc for 25 cents. I didn't buy it, but I had a little pang of wistfulness for a time when that was considered an aspirational thing to own a Laserdisc collection.
A certain rite of passage as a kid was the first time you ever got to go to the mall without parental supervision. I don't exactly remember when it was. I was actually trying to remember this just the other day with Alana, and I couldn't pinpoint it. But I believe it was when I went with a couple of friends to see the movie Mannequin when it was in theaters, and we missed the opening cartoon because back in the day, you didn't like get to the movies on time. That wasn't like a really a thing people worried about. You just showed up, and we saw Mannequin. And then we got to shop around the mall for a while by ourselves with our spending money until one of the kids' moms came to pick us up. And I don't know if she actually came to pick us up. The big thing that was sort of an open secret was that when parents would drop young kids off at the mall, the parents would secretly like be around. Like they would pretend to drop you off and then they'd park and they'd go shopping themselves and kind of keep an eye on you from a distance. But yeah, I mean, the only places we shop, like, we were, like, elementary school. Like, this was, like, fourth or fifth grade. And, like, you went to the record store. You went to your local Sam Goody. And you shopped at Sam Goody. You went to Babbage's. You got to shop Babbage's. You got to see if there's any new games for your IBM PC XT. Got to hit the B. Dalton. Got to hit B. Dalton Bookseller. Even though we had bookstores closer to the house, there was something special about the mall bookstore. There's something about the way they smelled. I don't know if you ever went into a mall bookstore, and they don't exist anymore. I know some malls have like Barnes & Nobles in them, but that's not really a mall bookstore. That is a store that is in the mall. That's like elephants aren't house pets. If an elephant sits on your house, it's not your pet. It's just an elephant sitting in your house. And that's what Barnes & Noble is. Barnes & Noble is not a mall bookstore. Barnes & Noble is a bookstore squatting in your mall, even if it's in the center of the mall, like in the Mall of America. Doesn't matter. Not a mall bookstore. I'm talking B. Dalton. I'm talking Borders. I'm talking little bookstores that barely have the footprint of the first story of my house that smelled a certain way. You walked in and they smelled like a paperback rack. They smelled like a slight mildewy smell. They smelled like the installations. They smelled like the cheap shelving. They smelled like the low drop ceilings. There's just a smell of a mall bookstore that doesn't exist anymore, but that I can still smell if I close my eyes and conjure it up. We'd never buy anything at a mall bookstore because we didn't have that kind of money, because we had memberships to our local Bookstop and that was cheaper, but loved the mall bookstore. Just loved it. They had the exact same things as all the other bookstores, but it was smaller, less overwhelming. Yeah, so we were kids, so we didn't actually like, you know, go shopping for like clothes or anything. Like we weren't like fancy kids. We didn't care what we were wearing, but we did like looking at stuff. Toys. Oh yeah, KB. Man, KB Toy Store, that was the place to go when you were a kid. There was something about KB Toys was awesome. It was malls only, and KB would get exclusives. KB would get certain toys that weren't available at your Toys R Us's, at your department stores, at your Targets, at your Kmart's. KB had certain toy lines that only they got, because it was mostly the toy lines that nobody else wanted. So, you know, you could find your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at Toys R Us, but if you wanted your thumb wrestlers, you went to KB, or you went to KB to get the toys that nobody wanted and that got remaindered, because those things stayed on the shelves for like 12 years and they just kept getting marked down. So if you waited long enough, you could get Mondo Gecko for like 75 cents. And this is not to slight Mondo Gecko. I'm not saying that nobody wanted Mondo Gecko, but there was always a lot of Mondo Geckos. So if you wanted your Mondo Gecko, you held out for a few years. You wanted your Earthworm Jim toys. When they had Earthworm Jim toys, go to KB. You knew they were going to have them there because nobody wanted those things. I got them now. They're at my desk at work. KB Toys, thank you very much. KB lasted until the 2000s, but it lost a lot of its charm. Anyway, what was I talking about? The mall. We love the mall. And you know who else loves the mall? My listeners. My listeners love the mall to a certain age. I am of a certain age. many of my friends and listeners are of a certain age, so we have this weird nostalgia for the mall. And I understand that the mall wasn't a great experience for everyone. A lot of stuff went down at the mall, but it was a formative experience for many people. Depending on the region of the United States, depending on what your social clique was, depending on who you interacted with, depending on what you went to the mall for. Were you going to the mall to shop? Were you going to the mall to be seen? Were you going to the mall to steal? Were you going to the mall to rebel? Were you going to the mall because it was the only place where you could be near your peers outside of school, even though your peers didn't want to be near you? Was it to go to, of all things, an amazing store that existed in Willowbrook Mall for a very brief period of time, but that was essentially the Over Our Heads store from the later seasons of The Facts of Life, that, you know, like that the girls built with Mrs. Garrett after her, like, what was it, like a bakery burned down? They built this store called Over Our Heads that when they built it, my sister and I were like, that's of all things. That's of all things. Just like in Willowbrook Mall. That's of all things, where you could go in and buy like just weird nonsense that nobody needed, but they had like bins full of like great rubber bendy things and little finger puppets and hilarious bumper stickers and banana clips and hair ties. But it was dark inside. It was like all neon and new wavy. And it wasn't like Claire's because it wasn't aimed for kids. But it wasn't like Spencer's because it wasn't aggressive and like angry at women. It was just of all things. And that's what they sold, all things. And then it shut down and became like a body shop or something. I don't know. One of my friends worked there in high school. His ex-girlfriend worked there in high school. I think she worked there. She spent a lot of time there. I just remember running into her there. And she introduced me to her new boyfriend. And that was awkward. She was like, Phil, I want you to meet my new boyfriend. His name is, I don't know, Tad. And she was always saying like, I want you to meet my new boyfriend. She always introduced me to her new boyfriends. And she was always like, I want you to meet my new boyfriend. His name is so and such. I love him so much. He reminds me of you. And then she'd introduce me to some guy with like no neck and like an eyebrow ring and like a 1,000-yard stare who looked ready to hit me as hard as he could in the face. And I'd be like, I see it. I totally see why he reminds me of you. We are both mammals and carbon-based life forms who have a complex nervous system. Like, I guess that was like she saw like a human being and was like, that's kind of like Phil, I guess. Or maybe she was trying to flatter me or like say like, I think this less of, I don't know. In any case, she worked at the place that used to be of all things, which was an awesome store in the mall. In any case, the Berenstain Bears, the giant mall, the Berenstain Bears at the giant mall, 1993. This is a simple story because it's a Cub Club book. Look, Ma, I'm reading. They're on their way to the mall. They're going to the mall today. They take the Red Roadster to the mall. I love their mall. It's not named. It's just called Mall. Giant Mall. It's just called Giant Mall. It looks like a castle. It has towers and flags. One would believe that the Berenstains didn't know what malls looked like because this looks like it's nestled in a shady grove as opposed to like surrounded. But it is surrounded by a parking lot. But it's this beautiful mall. It's made of brick, which, you know, that's pretty bold for a mall. And it's great. It's got this huge entryway. It's full of stores. You see this little spread on the first time you go in there. That's a shoe store. You see a hair store. No, a hardware store. Sorry, I was like, why are there hammers at the hair store? A store that sells ties. A store that sells coats. There's an escalator, handily labeled escalator. And then the bears just start walking around. We see a lot of town bears wandering around. A lot of their neighbors. Because the place is packed. So what do you find in an amazingly giant mall? You'll find a wedding dress because there's a bridal shop. We have a bridal shop at the Mall of America. Mall of America used to be famous. Well, it is famous because it's the largest mall in the United States. Not in North America. Not in North America. Canada has the largest mall in North America. But in the United States, the Mall of America got famous for having not only a bridal shop, but a chapel, the Chapel of Love, which, does that still exist? I don't know. Wow, it's been a while since I've checked. The Chapel of Love, where you could get married at the Mall of America. And that was kind of like a thing for a while. People would come in from out of town to get married, not realizing that there was like a two-week waiting period after applying for your marriage license in Minnesota to get married here. So like people would show up and they'd be like, you can't just get married. Like, this isn't Vegas. So there's a bridal shop. There's a sporting goods store. We still have sporting goods stores in malls. You'll see like a Dick's Sporting Goods. I guess Foot Locker isn't really a sporting goods store, but I wasn't a big frequenter of the sporting goods store. However, Brother Bear is walking by the sporting goods store, and the sporting goods store proprietor is throwing him a soccer ball, which, first of all, people who work in stores don't do that. They don't just throw you things from their store. Like, if you walk by a Best Buy in a mall, they're not going to just throw you the latest Carly Rae Jepsen album and be like, just have it. Just have it. Have a blast. Like, you're going to have to go in to get it. Second of all, throwing a soccer ball is like not what you do with a soccer ball. That's literally the wrong way to get a soccer ball from one person to another is by throwing it to them. Like, even the way he's throwing it. Like, if he did it like overhand, like, maybe, but no, he's just throwing it. Picture frames. There's picture frame stores, framing stores, the big frame up, I think is one of them. There's stores that brag about the fact that they sell frames when in fact they just sell like prints of like famous paintings with like lights added to them or like Thomas Kincaid things. There's all kinds of like way overpriced places to get framed pictures. You can get them anywhere nowadays, but they still exist. There was a framing store in the mall when I went to college in Santa Fe, and there was a young woman who worked there who, I'm going to cut this. Why would I even talk about this? Why would I talk about the attractive proprietor of the frame? Because it's the only thing I can relate to with the frame. I have no frame store stories, except that the proprietor of the frame store at the mall in Santa Fe, New Mexico, when I went there in the mid-90s, was like attractive to a college-age young man. That's it. Like, that's the amazing story I have about the frame store in the mall in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Tables and chairs, nothing. I can't relate to that at all. Clothes for big and little bears. We have a mall in town called the Galleria. There's Gallerias everywhere. A Galleria mall usually denotes a fancy mall, and it is one of the fancy malls. It's actually just south of Southdale, and the Galleria is a very small mall, but the stores are very big in price. They have a store there for little bears, little cubs, little kids, that sells $50 t-shirts for two-year-olds. And I don't know if you know what two-year-olds do with shirts, but it's destroy them is what two-year-olds do with shirts. That's what two-year-olds do with clothes. They turn them into garbage, and their outfits there are like $200, $300, $400. For these kids. And I know that like to some people, $400 is the equivalent of like $15 is to me. And I don't like those. I don't want to know you. I don't like those people. Don't like them at all. Greeting cards. A birthday card for Grizzly Gramps. So it's Grizzly Gramps' birthday's coming up. They're getting him a greeting card. The Hallmark store in the mall was always one of my favorite places to go because they didn't exist anywhere else around me, and Hallmark always had, they have little fun gifts, little gifties, little stuffed animals, cute little buttons, cute little pins, cute little ribbons you can, you know, do things with, I guess, and a much better selection of cards than I would have found at the grocery store. So if you wanted a really good card for someone, like a card that you put a lot of thought into buying, you drove to the mall, and you went to the Hallmark store. We didn't have, like I said, we didn't have one nearby, we may have, I just didn't know about it, but I spent a lot of time at the Hallmark store in the mall once in high school trying to pick out the perfect card for a girl I liked, and I just realized that most of my stories come down to a girl I liked. That's because most of my mall experience happened when I was an adolescent boy and not when I was an adult man with more control over myself and my feelings. So I was shopping for a greeting card for a girl I liked, and I bought it. Like, that's it. Like, that's, I don't have interest. These aren't interesting stories. These are nostalgia. Kitchen things. I don't even know if we had kitchen stores in the mall. Who cared? Jewelry, like Zales jewelry. Think of like those diamond stores, those jewelry stores in the mall. Those are all scams, by the way. All the big jewelry stores in every mall, they're all scams that overprice diamonds and jewels. And they're usually connected to very, very, very horrible diamond and jewel distributors. Don't buy your jewelry at the mall. terrible place. Here's something funny that's not in this book. Puppy stores. When I was a kid, every mall had a pet store. They'd have puppies in the windows. In fact, if you look at the movie Mallrats from 1990, I want to say 6, there's a puppy store in Mallrats. Like, there's puppies in the window. And that was just a thing. And we would go to the mall and be like, can we go visit the puppies? And when we were good, we got to go visit the puppies. And it was like in the mid to late 90s that, like, I think 2020 was like, hey, by the way, all the puppies, don't ever buy a puppy at a mall because it's going to get that terrible puppy disease that puppies get. You know the disease. I don't know what it's called, and I'm not looking it up. But there's that terrible puppy disease that people get puppies, and then like a few weeks later, they're like, we have that puppy disease, and then they don't have that mall puppy anymore. So, yeah, they all had that puppy disease, and they all came from puppy farms that were terrible. Because you don't buy an animal from a thing called a farm unless it's like a moo cow. Books, I already talked about bookstores. A police bear watching out for crooks. It's funny, as a kid, I was never aware of mall security. Like, I knew it existed, and I knew people talked about it. I never noticed mall security. Probably had to do with the fact that I look very white. So, I guess they just didn't follow me. Also, I looked like a horrible nerd who wasn't the kind of person who they would probably be like, that guy's going to steal a cassette tape. And I know he's not going to because he's just looking at the Weird Al and Judy Tenuta tapes. So he's probably not planning on making off with one of them. Besides, the cassette tapes come in these incredibly long plastic holders that you would need like a mic stand bag to carry if you tried to steal it. So no, I wasn't going to steal the Weird Al tapes. I did buy a lot of Weird Al tapes in the mall. Cookie counters. Of course, we love the cookie counters. Big America Cookie Company, whatever it's called. They always had like the big cookie cakes out for cookie pizza things, like big flat chocolate chip cookie cakes. Amazing. Amazing. They never tasted as good as you wanted them to. But they were there. Carts of flour. I don't remember carts of flowers. This is like an actual cart. This book was written like kind of pre-mall kiosk. Now like malls fill their walkways with little kiosks. But back in the 80s and 90s, you didn't see those so much. Those weren't everywhere. But malls started realizing that in order to maximize profit, you had to have something for sale at every square foot of the mall. Read Paco Underhill's The Call of the Mall. It's from the late 90s, early 2000s. He basically breaks down why malls do and do not work as places to go shopping. And one of the reasons is they don't work is they don't have enough bathrooms. Because he's like, people, even though it's been scientifically proven that the more bathrooms you have, like in a shopping area, the longer people will stay and the more they'll buy. Like, it'll only increase profits. But mall creators don't want to put bathrooms because every square foot that isn't selling something is considered wasted money. So even though you will make more money by installing more bathrooms, people are short-sighted. And they don't listen to Paco. Does Paco Underhill even work anymore? I don't know. I read his book. It's a good book. It was a good book. I don't know how good the research is anymore. I think it's like 20 years old. They can shop for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. They go to do some shopping by themselves. Papa buys a new pair of overalls. Mama says they're the kind he always buys, even though he's holding them up, and they are like stonewashed. These are like stonewashed overalls. They don't match. These are not the kind he always buys. Mama is looking for a brand new hat. We don't know if she buys it because we never see it later. There's a bunch of hats, however, on the stands, including what looks like Donald Duck sailor cap, which is weird. But also, it brings to mind Old Hat, New Hat, if you remember from back in the day. You could try to go back and listen to Old Hat, New Hat, which is read by Mitzi, but that's like episode number 6, and you can't get to it anymore from your feed. However, you could go to BerensteinBearcast.wordpress.com and check it out there. Old Hat, New Hat. One of my first episodes. Sister's like, hey, brother needs some balsa wood. There's a hobby store. And there were hobby stores in the mall. I never went to them because I never had a hobby. Sister's getting a new hair bow at what looks to be a Claire's boutique type store. Mama tries to convince her to buy a green hair bow, but sister's like, I think I'll stick with pink if you don't mind very much. So bears are coming from everywhere. They come to shop. There's one that just says they come to stare, and it has like these incredibly terrifying looking bears just staring at people. And I assume they mean people watch, there's something wrong with these two bears. They come to jog, which I don't think is allowed. There's a jogger in there. So I don't know. Maybe things are different in Pennsylvania, but they don't jog in our mall. There is mall walking. Mall walking was a special thing that came out in the late 80s, in the 90s. It was seen as like, well, there's these giant malls. And what we can do is we can give seniors a place to walk and exercise and congregate before the mall opens. And then after the mall opens, they'll stick around and shop, and we'll have new customer base, and we'll have done something nice for the community. But what ended up happening was seniors would come to do mall walking before the mall opened, and then they'd leave. They wouldn't stay to shop at all, but the mall still had to open an hour early for them, and they had to pay people to come in before that for something that didn't benefit the mall at all. So malls started canceling their senior walking programs, but that made people angry because all of a sudden it was seen as doing something against seniors, and they started losing community, like, business. And so they had to keep this, they shot themselves in the foot, basically, with their mall walking programs, but there was no mall jogging programs. Some come to eat. We see Too Tall Grizzly eating, which is great. Good for him. Good boy. Eating a burger. I always loved eating at the mall food. It was a rare thing. My parents didn't like us to eat at the mall. They said it was too expensive. I like to eat at the mall. I like to eat. I only got to do it once. Foley's, which is a department store in Texas. I don't even think it exists anymore. Foley's was a department store like Sears. It had like a toy department, which was awesome. It had a toy department. It was the only place I ever found as a kid, toy department, that sold, had a whole section that sold nothing but Japanese import robot toys, like Manziger and Voltron. And it was awesome. It was this tiny toy, like not even like half the size of my den. But it was this incredible little toy department. It didn't last long, like because it was overshadowed by KB and stuff. Loved it. But Foley's had a restaurant upstairs, and I only got to ever eat there once. I don't even remember what I ate, but it smelled, it had a cafeteria, like not a cafeteria, like a school cafeteria, but like a adult cafeteria, like one of those like cafeterias that you go to. We had Luby's in the South. I don't know what they have, if they even exist other places. Not an all-you-can-eat buffet, but a cafeteria restaurant, and they smelled like that. When you walk past, you would smell it. Love that smell. Love that smell. Only got to eat there once. They come to stroll. They come to meet. As we learned, you know, that's what kids do there. Teenagers come to hang around. We see some pretty awesome teens. We see a guy in stripes. We see what looks like Queenie McBear in her headband. Some cubs are at the Lost and Found. There's this little boy crying. His mother's comforting him. He must have gotten lost. We see our neighbor, Mr. Brown. We go up. He goes down. They're on the escalator. What ends up happening, though, is they lose Papa Bear, and they actually have to find Papa Bear at the Lost Cub place, which is awesome. An embarrassed look upon his face. I don't know why he went there, but he looks pretty cowed. He's sucking on his finger like a baby, like a large baby. And then they sit down. They have burgers to eat. They really like them all. Sister loves them all. Mama loves them all. And they plan to come back again. They almost get lost in the parking lot, but they wrote down where their car was, and they bid fond farewell to the stores and the bears, and the entrance hall, and the flying flags, the towers, and they guarantee you that they'll come back. They spend a lot of the end of the book just reassuring the reader that this isn't the last time they're ever going to go shopping. Like, don't worry, everyone. We're coming back to the mall. We will come back. We will come back to the mall. And I assume they do. But that's it. That's the Berenstain Bears and the Giant Mall. There's not really a plot. It just sort of takes you on a tour through the mall. Like Stan and Jan and Mike and whoever else were like, we gotta let these kids know that we know what a mall is. So let's spend a book defining it. And not only defining the mall, but defining what makes a mall great. What makes a mall the best place. And so they do, and that is the Berenstain Bears and the Giant Mall from 1993. It's a Cub Club book. Look, Ma, I'm reading. It has never been reprinted. It does not exist anymore. You can find it used. And I would buy, I mean, it's not as whimsical as last week's, as The Wishing Star. But it's a fun book. It's a good, it's told in rhyme. It's very simple. So I think it's a good, like, little rhyming book. A good tribute to capitalism. If you're the kind of, if you just really want your kid to look forward to buying stuff at big stores, it's a good tribute to capitalism. I love the mall. I love it. I love talking about them all. I love reminiscing about them all. I have another podcast. It's called Click It Cast, a Beverly Cleary podcast. And my co-host on that, John McCoy, the host of Sophomore Lit, he hates them all. He hates talking about it. He has no nostalgia for it. He's under no illusions that the mall was a good place. He thinks it's folly for me to romanticize the mall. I don't care. I loved it. And when I look at pictures of old malls from the 80s, it makes me tear up. People with their hair and their fashions and their hanging out and their sideburns and their earth tones. I love them all. I love 80s malls. I wish I could go back to Aladdin's Castle. I wish I could go back to Of All Things. I wish I could go back to that fountain in Greens Point Mall and throw in a penny. I wish I could go back and see Chess King, because I miss Chess King. I miss the original Disney store. Back when the Disney store was just for adults. Like, can you imagine? There was a time when the Disney store didn't even sell stuff for kids. It sold adults' clothes and collectibles. It sold jean jackets with Winnie the Pooh and purses with Winnie the Pooh. It sold ceramic Disney villains. I used to collect Disney sidekicks, ceramic Disney sidekicks. My friend David collected the villains. Not one thing for kids. Maybe a couple of toys here and there. Maybe a keychain. Sold like limited edition cells, reproductions. It did sell plushes in the back, but they were more like collector's items than something you'd give a kid. Wind-up music boxes. The original Disney store. Quickly joined by the Warner Brothers store and then quickly lost the Warner Brothers store. But the Disney, I miss all that. If I could go back in time just for like an hour and a half and just run up and down the halls of the original Willowbrook, I would. I miss Willowbrook Mall. Hey, listeners. If any of you have photos or footage of malls from the 1980s, not something you found online, but something you actually have, I would love to see them. Post them, please, to Twitter and tag me on it, at BStainBearcast. I would love to see pictures of the malls from the 80s.
My name is Jennifer Levin. I'm an arts and culture journalist in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I grew up in Northbrook, Illinois, and in 1987-88, I was in eighth grade. I would go all the time to the mall at Northbrook Court with my friends Kelly and Amy. I don't remember exactly how we spent most of our time there, but the goal was definitely to meet boys. We once met three boys from our neighboring town, which resulted in some phone flirtations. But the main thing I remember was the guy I liked who worked at Baskin and Robbins. His name was Alec, and he was 17. I was 14, so he knew he was much too old for me, which is really good, I guess, in hindsight, though I felt really insulted by this at the time. My friends and I spent a lot of time literally sitting on the floor outside the food court. The Baskin Robbins faced, like, out of the food court. And so we would sit there and, I don't know, like look at him, I guess. The other guys that worked there were creepy and used to, like, flirt with us in creepy ways. One of them once dedicated a song to me and my friends on B96, which was, like, the hot radio station. If I recall correctly, the song was Push It by Salt and Pepper. One day, Amy and I spent a whole day at the mall, like, on a Saturday, and there was some kind of mix-up in the evening when one of our parents was supposed to pick us up but didn't show, or we weren't waiting at the right place or something. Anyway, we both wound up getting hideously grounded from the mall. Like, we were never allowed to go there. We weren't allowed to hang out. It was like this big thing over basically nothing. But I never saw Alec again, and it was like my heart was broken. The memory, though, that I have that's most strongly associated with the mall is just the smell of that food court. It's like really strong sense memory. It's burgers, pizza, fries, like boardwalk fries, mixed with a really sugary smell from Gloria Jean coffee bean. It's like an instant, mild headache for this. That's not super pleasant. And that is my mall story. Thanks. Bye.
I love the mall. Stranger Things Season 3 just came out. And I'm not going to, like, you know, promote Stranger Things Season 3. But most of it takes place at the mall. The mall in Stranger Things Season 3 is a sort of idealized 80s mall. And it's not at all what a mall was actually like in the 80s, but it's what we think a mall was like in the 80s. It's what I remember a mall being in the 80s. It's gaudier than that. It's brighter and cleaner than a mall ever was. But one of my friends pointed out, she was like, yeah, a mall built in 85 would have looked more like that. And that is true. The malls I frequented were built in the early 80s. This was a mall built in like 85. A little more gleamier, a little chromier, but it is this platonic ideal of a mall that if I could go live in it, I would just abandon my life and just go live in the mall in Hawkins, Indiana. Except that, well, I won't give any spoilers to Stranger Things. I wouldn't go live in that mall, I guess is the point, if you've seen Stranger Things season 3. But I would love a picture of it, or maybe a walkthrough. Just, I would love for it to exist in my life, be a part of me. I would love to have it as a part of me. In any case, this was the Berenstain Bears and the Giant Mall. Thank you all for listening, and thank you so much to the contributors to this week's episode. Thank you to Gina Radcliffe and Jennifer Levin. Gina is one of two hosts of the Kill by Kill podcast. She and her co-host Patrick Hamilton cover slasher films from the 1980s and beyond, but from the perspective that we don't usually get of those slasher films, the perspective of the victims, as they say in all their advertising. If you don't listen to Kill by Kill and you love slasher films, give it a listen. Those two are hilarious. Gina and I love to reminisce online about the 1980s. We're kind of stuck in this perpetual time loop where we can't let go of the past, and we just can't stop reminiscing about that specific era. Jennifer Levin is an arts and culture writer from Santa Fe, New Mexico. I know Jennifer from college. That's way further back than I care to imagine myself being that age. Jennifer is an incredible writer, an incredible thinker about how art and culture and the way we were raised has impacted our lives. Her writing is incredible. Seek her out. Her stuff is amazing. Both of these contributors are amazing. And thank you both so much for contributing your mall memories to this episode. Follow me on patreon.com/deepinbearcountry if you would. And if you are a Patreon subscriber already, you will get a bonus episode to this episode, which will be me talking about the animated adaptation of the Berenstain Bears at the Giant Mall. They made it for TV. They actually gave it a plot. So we'll take a look and we'll see how it's the same. We'll see how it's different. We'll see what happens in it. We'll see what they expand on. They had to expand on something. There's literally no story in this book, but I love it. I think it's great. Thank you for letting me ramble on about them all. Thank you for letting me talk about, of all things, I could just talk about it forever. I also understand there is a Willowbrook Mall in New Jersey. I was talking about that with a friend just the other day. However, I try to look up anything about Willowbrook Mall in Houston, I always get information about the New Jersey location. What's funny is I just watched a video today, Tig Notaro talking to Wyclef Jean, and they talked about the very same thing. He would go to Willowbrook Mall in New Jersey, and she would go to Willowbrook Mall in Houston, Texas. So it's a small world after all. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com. Find me at bstainbearcast on Twitter, or again, patreon.com/deepinbearcountry. Throw a few bucks my way. I would appreciate it. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you all next time deep in bear country.